2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, actually. Verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. And we want to look at the subject that's found here in this text, and that is confident at the coming judgment. Confidence at the coming judgment. Now, we've been going through the book of 2 Timothy, and we've come now to this time where the apostle gives a charge, if you will, back up in verse 1, to be faithful. We have a charge to be faithful in the midst of apostate times. In chapter 3, there is the perilous times in which were prophesied about there by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. And we are living in the last days. We've kind of went through this. I don't want to labor on it too much, but just to kind of set things in order here, we find that we are in the last days. As you study the Scripture, you'll find out that that terminology, the last days, has been going on for the last 2,000 years. So we're in a time frame now that is called the last days. But in the last days, we might call it the last days of the last days, which the text knows as perilous times. And chapter 3 gives all kinds of characteristics to look for these perilous times. And if a man looks around, he can see that these are the times in which we live, these perilous times. And then as you go through that, he teaches us in chapter 3 that these perilous times will come, but you be faithful. And he tells them to watch out for those who lead captive silly women, and they, so he tells us about who to look out for in these times. And he also goes on and gives us stability in these times, and that stability is found in the Word of God. Now, we know and we believe the Bible teaches us that we have the Word of God, that God has preserved His Word for us, and it is the thing that will give God's people stability in the times of the text. If you'll notice, he says, as he says in the text, in verse 13 of chapter 3, but evil men shall and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is. And I seize upon the word is. Pause, not past tense, but present tense. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So the stability in perilous times in the last days is the Word of God. You get outside of the Word of God and you get outside of stability. And so when we come to chapter 4, Paul says in verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the Word. And so you have apostasy, you have the marks of that apostasy, and you have apostate men, but what will give stability to you, Timothy, and what will give stability to the people of God is the Word of God, the Scripture, and you must faithfully preach the Word of God. And so he lays this out. And he says, for there's going to come a time, for the time will come, that men will not endure. They'll not endure sound doctrine. What they'll do is that they'll want their ears to be scratched, and they want their back to be patted, and they want to be all kinds of sweet things told to them. And he says, but you be faithful to preach the Word of God. So it's a charge. It is a charge, now this is where we're going to get to the message, it's a charge in light of the judgment that's coming. Notice it says in verse 1, I charge thee therefore, because of what I've just said, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, that is the living, that's what the word quick means, the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. So the Lord's going to come back, and when He comes back, He's going to judge the quick, those that are alive, and He's also going to judge the dead. And there's, I believe, two ways that this can be taken. First of all, there are those who are alive in Christ. They're going to be judged, and we'll see that in just a moment. And then there are those that are dead in their sin, and they're going to be judged. And it's two different judgments that are future, but He just kind of lumps them together in that passage, and just to say that you're not going to escape judgment. Timothy, as the man of God, Timothy as a preacher, would not escape a judgment. And we looked at that last week. There are three kinds of judgments. There is a sin judgment, there's a son judgment, and then there is a servant judgment. Now, the sin judgment's already been taken care of for everyone who ever has saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody who is brought to repentance and faith by the power of the preached word, and more importantly, by the power of the Holy Ghost, who's regenerated, brought from death to life, their sin has already been taken care of in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's a judgment that was executed, but they'll never have to face. So if you're here and you're trusting Christ as your Savior, we find that the sin judgment was already taken care of on the cross, and that's something that you've already had taken care of to such a degree that you will never, ever enter into condemnation. You'll never, ever be judged for your sin. And that is a wonderful truth that every believer ought to know. You know, the book of John chapter, I don't have it in my notes, but just, you know, I like to present things from the Word of God, but I want you to see this in John 5, and then I'll get back to the message because I really want to get into what I want tonight. But it says in John 5:24, the Gospel of John 5, verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, that's present tense, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. There's no way that sinner, the trusting sinner, will ever enter into condemnation. It's already been taken care of. So we'll never have to stand for our sin. Isn't that a wonderful truth? You'll never, ever have to stand before God before your sin because Christ stood in your place. It's what true redemption is all about, Him being the substitute for our sin. And He's already paid our sin debt, and He paid it fully and completely so that the elect of God, the believing sinner, he never ever has to stand in judgment of God in relationship to his sin. Now there is a great white throne judgment, and that's a future judgment for the lost, but we won't be there. We won't be at that judgment. And so when we come to our text and we think about this, now here it is, there is the sin judgment. And either your sins are judged in Christ or God will judge them one day at the great white throne judgment. So if you're here and you're lost tonight and you never come to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, you'll have to face your sin. You'll have to face every sin that you've ever committed against God, and you'll be there at the great white throne judgment. The Bible speaks about that in the book of the Revelation, in Revelation chapter 21, where it says that heaven and earth, well, actually, latter part of 20, heaven and earth fled away, and there was found no place for them. And you know what happens? There's nothing there but God. He's there. And then all of humanity is suspended in nothing before a holy God. And then he cast them into hell, or the lake of fire. He cast hell and death into the lake of fire and all those that are there. That's at the great white throne judgment. But this isn't that judgment we're going to talk about tonight. So there is the sin judgment. Then there is the son judgment. And that's what goes on right now. Whenever God's children are disobedient, the Lord Jesus Christ, they're disobedient to the Word of God, they're disobedient to Christ, and they don't follow after the commands of Christ. What happens to Christians that do that is that they're chastised. And so, just like a loving father who has children who are disobedient, he don't kill them. He doesn't kill them. They're not brought into condemnation, but I'll tell you what he does to them. He will chastise them. He'll take them behind the woodshed, or he'll take them into the bedroom and he'll give them a lash or two and says, now this is what's the consequences of your disobedience. And that is a son judgment. And every believer, in and out, day in and day out, they face a son judgment. And an S-O-N, judgment. And as believers, we face that in relationship to our disobedience. And then the third judgment that believers have to face is a servant judgment. And that judgment comes later. That judgment is at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're talking about. And we know that the apostles teach us this truth as we go through this text. First of all, salvation is not by what we do. Salvation is by grace. So salvation is not based upon any merit at all whatsoever. Nobody ever gets into heaven because of what they do. They get to heaven because of what Jesus did. And so this, you have to see this. And there's a lot of misunderstanding. You know, you go to the Bible and people, they say, well, what, this verse contradicts that verse. No, you don't just, the problem is that you don't study the Scripture in light of the Scripture. That's where we get our problem. So when we come to a text like this, he says the Lord is going to judge the living, the quick, and he's also going to judge the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. So when the Lord comes back, eventually, ultimately, everybody's going to stand in judgment, but just different ways. And so because of that, Timothy, you be faithful. And that's what he's going to get to. Timothy, you be faithful in your calling. You preach the Word of God in the midst of a... Don't worry what other people think. Don't worry about what other people say about you. Don't worry about the attitudes. Don't worry about their looks. Don't worry if they give you a bad face or cuss you out. It doesn't really matter because you don't have to stand before them in judgment. You have to stand before your Lord in judgment as a servant. Not as a sinner. And not even as a son there, but you're standing in judgment as a servant. And if you as a believer can get your mind around those three different judgments, it'll do you a lot of good in your Christian life. So we come to this text, and he says in verse 5, here's some more admonition. So here's his charge, preach the word. His other admonition is, watch thou in all things. Here's another admonition, endure afflictions. Here's another admonition, do the work of an evangelist. Here's another admonition, make full proof of thy ministry. For, he says. And so that little four connects it all together. So here's the charge. Preach the word and do all these things to, and make full proof of your ministry. And then he says, for I'm ready. I'm going to die. And I'm ready to die. And I'm ready to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For he says, for I am ready now to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. First, I have fought a good fight. Secondly, I have finished my course. And thirdly, I have kept the faith. And so what we also see in this text is the confidence of the man of God. Now, there is a sense in which every believer can have confidence in their death. And that is through the work of Jesus Christ. And if you're without Christ, you can't have any confidence in your death. And that's a whole other subject matter, but that's not what the text is talking about. The text in itself is talking about Paul's faithfulness with the grace of God that he has given him. You know, not everybody's faithful. Not every believer is faithful. You think about this with me now. Not every believer grows in grace like other believers. Some grow more. Some grow and have more fruit. You read the parable of the sower, and there were some that had fruit that was 60-fold, and some that had 100-fold. Now, wouldn't you like to be 100-fold? Wouldn't you like to have the fruit of 100-fold as opposed to 60-fold? There is a difference in the way believers grow. There's a difference in the way believers act. There's a difference among believers. And here you come to a text like this, and Paul is bold. Paul, you know what Paul said? Paul said concerning himself that he was the one that was willing. You know, he was an apostle of apostles, but he also did more than any other apostle. How could he say something like that? You think he was lying? Well, no, he wasn't lying. He's telling the truth. He was just telling fact. Now, Paul wasn't bragging. He wasn't being a braggart, but he was just being truthful. He was faithful to his calling. And because of that, he was confident. Paul's departure, his death, was near, and he would be offering his life for the cause of Christ. And as I said last week, Paul was ready. He says in the text, I am ready to be offered. And what he's saying is, I'm ready to die for Jesus Christ. Listen, there's some believers who aren't even ready to live for Him. And if you're, I tell you what, if you're not ready to live for Him and be all and out dedicated and consecrated to Him, how in the world do you think you're going to die for Him? Paul was ready to die for Him. He was ready to die for Him because he was surrendered. Paul lived his life, from what we find in the New Testament example of him, he lived as a believer, as a sinful man, as a man who says, that which I do not allow. You know, he had to struggle with the old nature, just like we have to struggle with the old nature. He was left for dead. He did all kinds of things going on in his life as an apostle. But yet, when he comes to this time in his life, he could look back and say, from the time of my conversion, from the time whenever on the road to Damascus where the Lord saved me, from that time when I said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? From that time, Paul was faithful. What we find in this text. Now, if he wasn't, then the scripture here is lying to us. But it's not doing that. He was a faithful Christian. You can be a faithful Christian. If you'll take what God says and believe what He says and put it into practice, you too can come to the hour of your death and be ready to face the judgment seat of Jesus Christ as a servant of the King. His departing was near and he was ready to be offered. And as a saved man, he was going to face this final judgment, the judgment of a servant. A believer's judgment. Now last week we saw, first of all, the certainty of a servant's judgment. The certainty of it. If you're a saved person, now there's a lot of bad theology. You can be assured of that. And because of bad theology, a lot of time preachers have to spend a lot of time unteaching people. Because of bad theology. And so there are some people who think, well, you know, all it is that, you know, you die, you know, the Lord saves you from hell. And then you get to go to heaven. And that's all they ever learn. That's all they ever know. But there's more to Christianity than that. There's more to just not going to hell and just getting to go to heaven. There's a way to live the Christian life. And listen, beloved, God's given us promises as believers that if you're faithful, you can get a crown. If you're faithful, He'll reward you. Now, I understand as I study that subject matter that those crowns are going to be cast at Jesus' feet because it's His grace and strength that gives us the ability to do it. But wouldn't it be nice to be able to give something back to Jesus Christ who loved us and gave Himself for us? That's what we're talking about. And Paul was one of those men. Paul says here, I'm ready. And he says, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course and I've kept the faith. So there's a certainty of judgment. We looked at that last week. I can't develop it tonight, but it's found over in 2 Corinthians 5. That there's the certainty of this judgment that every believer will face. And that is the judgment seat of Christ. Then we find that the nature of this judgment is it's a servant's judgment. We saw that last week. It's not a judgment of salvation. It's not a judgment to find out whether you get to go to heaven or not. That's already been taken care of. You know, if you don't know whether you're going to heaven or not, you need to get that right. That's true now. If you don't know whether you're going to heaven or not, that's a whole other subject matter. And that is found out in and through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is not a judgment of salvation, but it is a judgment of rewards. And the Bible says very clearly, And 1 Corinthians 3 about this judgment of rewards. 1 Corinthians 3, I will read this one. That what we do and how we do what we do in relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be put to the test at the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Another man buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, now, you've got to be careful how you build on Jesus Christ. Now, First of all, Paul established the church at Corinth, out of the church at Antioch. Paul was a wise master builder, and he fitly framed that together with the gospel. And he built them on Jesus Christ. But he says, now listen, guys, you're taking over where I left off, and you better be careful how you build on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says this, now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble. In other words, if you build on things that are valuable or things that are worthless, there's going to come a time when it's all going to be made manifest. Every man's work, we're talking about works. We're talking about being a servant. Every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So it's not talking about you being burned up at a judgment. It's talking about your works being burned up at judgment. So how are my works going to be burned up? Well, it's going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. It's a believer's judgment, a servant's judgment. And it'll be that time whenever you will know, and those there at that judgment seat will know, whether God accepted your works or not in relationship to how you served Him. Because some people, you know, some people serve God to be for show. They come in, they even come to church, or they may do something for other people, but they don't do it because they're serving the Lord Christ like they should out of a heart of devotion and love for Jesus. They do it to be seen of men. They do it for applause. They do it for thank yous instead of doing it for Jesus Christ. And all that's going to be taken care of at the judgment seat of Christ. And then we find the area, and that's what we're going to look at tonight. I tried to get through that as fast as I could, but I think it's very important to lay this out. The third thing that we see here, and what we're looking at tonight especially, is the area of a servant's judgment. So we're talking about a servant's judgment. It's a certain judgment. The nature of it is a servant's judgment. And the third thing, the area of a servant's judgment. What areas will God judge us in relationship to our service? And it's all found in this text. Now, there may be more. No doubt there are as you study the Scripture. But Paul dealt with three things as an apostle. He dealt with these three things as a minister. He dealt with these things as a servant of Jesus Christ. And it's an admonition. Now, keep this in mind now. It's an admonition to Timothy. Timothy, you be faithful. Because Jesus Christ is going to judge the quick when He comes back. The living. He's going to judge them. And you be faithful. You be faithful to what the Lord has entrusted to you. And then he goes on to say, I've been faithful. I don't think any other way you can look at the text to see but what it says, just that. He says in verse 7, here's the three areas. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Those three areas. Now, how do you know that he's talking about judgment? Because he says in verse 8, henceforth. In relationship to this and from these things going forth into the judgment, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Said, well, now, Brother Shepherd, won't every believer, won't every child of God love his appearing? Well, they'll love seeing that he's back. They'll love the fact that he's come for them. They'll love that. But there was a story told of a little boy, and his mama had a cookie jar. And so mama was going to be gone, and he decided he couldn't help but get in those cookies. You know, he got to thinking about them, and on and on he went. So finally he got into the cookie jar, and mama came home early. She came home unexpectedly, and he didn't love her appearing. You know, Jesus Christ is going to come back unexpectedly someday. And there are going to be many people who are not doing the things that they should have been doing for the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are going to be, I believe, ashamed at His appearing. We're talking about Christians now. We're not talking about lost. I mean, that's a whole other subject matter. But think about this with me. The Master comes. and we're called off guard. The master comes and we're called off duty. Here's a man and he's in the military and he's set guard. He has a post that he's supposed to be serving his government in. And there he's supposed to set watch and he's supposed to keep watch. And so his lieutenant comes and he's asleep on the job. He's called off guard. This is what we're talking about. So here we go in this text. Three things. First of all, our fight. He says, I have fought a good fight. Secondly, our course. I have finished my course. Thirdly, the faith. I have kept the faith. I hope we can get through these tonight. First of all, we find our fight. He says, fought a good fight. Paul, the Apostle Paul, as a servant of Jesus Christ, had fought a good fight. And because of the fact that he fought a good fight, he would be crowned. God, the righteous judge, was not going to forget Paul's labors of love. He wasn't going to forget the fact that Paul gave himself and was spent and be willing to be spent for others. Paul was going to be rewarded, even though it was God's grace that sustained him. And even though it was the work of the Spirit in him that caused Paul to love the way he loved and to serve the way he served. Even though God had given him all of those things, God was going to reward Paul for his faithfulness. So Paul says this. He says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown, which the righteous judge. See, God's not unrighteous. Another text says, he's not unrighteous to forget our labors of love. He's not unrighteous to do that. He remembers what we do for him. That's service now. Faithfulness. And if you don't fight a good fight, don't expect to be crowned. We must fight. We must fight a good fight. And here's a servant judgment. A servant must fight against, first of all, his old nature to be a faithful servant. I got to thinking about this. Well, you know, sometimes this, you get your mind around things. Well, how is it you got to fight against your old nature? You're not going to be judged about your sin. So if you're not judged about your sin, then what does your old nature even have to do with anything? But then I'm reminded of a passage of Scripture, so I have to go over there and I have to search that out, and this is what we come to. 1 Corinthians 9. Keep your hand here. 1 Corinthians 9. Our brother read it this morning. He read the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, but we're going to break into it in verse 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more. And unto the Jew I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. And to them that are under the law, as in a law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. What's Paul saying? Paul says, I become everything to everybody, so that I can win them to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm willing to lay aside the fact that I'm who I am and I can go and I can deal with these folks where they are. That's in essence what he's saying. And he's doing that to serve them, but ultimately to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's get down into it. To the weak I became weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things unto all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Now, here we go. Here's going to be his argument. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run. That's a command. So run that you may obtain. Obtain what? Obtain the prize. Don't you know how races are run? You don't stop in the race. You don't go halfway in the race. But you race all the way to the finish line. And you do that so that you can get a prize. And to every man that striveth, here's another argument, to every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. These athletes, they go out here, you know, they win NFL games, they do all these kind of things. They do it, the NFL people do it to win a ring. They want to be in the Super Bowl. That's the accomplishment that they work for. There is the U.S. Open. They go there to be the winner of the U.S. Open. But they don't just wake up one day and say, you know what, I'm going to go play some tennis, or I'm going to play some football and be a champion. It doesn't just happen like that. They have to bring their body into subjection. So have to eat certain way or not eat certain way, and have to do all kinds of exercise regimens so that they can have the mastery. and be crowned. And Paul says, here's his argument. They do it for an incorruptible crown. It's only going to last. They'll get some applause in the stadium. They'll go get a ring. They might have three or four of them on their fingers because they won all those Super Bowls. But it'll all die with them. They do it for a corruptible crown, for corruptible glory. We do it for an incorruptible crown. He says, but we, an incorruptible, I therefore so run. And I know the word so there means in this way, in like manner. Not as uncertainty, so I fight. I'm a fighter. Not as one that beateth the air, that doesn't know what he's doing. But I keep my body and bring it under subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now there's implications here that he does it because of others around him. And he does it because he don't want to be looked at and viewed as someone who is a castaway, but is also does it, the text says, that he might obtain an incorruptible crown. So he was a fighter. What did he fight? What did he fight in the text there in 1 Corinthians 9? He fought his old nature. Now the fact is it is a constant fight for the believer to battle that old thing called the old man. To battle the old nature. To battle our old thought life. To battle our lust. To battle our will. Everything that comes from the old man. And so, it is the duty of the believer to fight the old man. The old nature. His will. His way. Now, think about it with me. Here's a servant. Here's a servant of a king. And the king has his will. And the servant has his will. And so, the king says to his servant, I want you, boy, to go over and do this for me or that for me. Hey, I need you to do this. I want you to get my horse ready. I want you to get my carriage ready. I want you to get my car ready. I want you to do this or that. I want my shoes shined. I want my, you know, and so he tells his servant, I want all these things done. And you know what the servant has to do to be a good servant? He's got to say no to himself. Servant said, well, I wanted to get out of bed at 6 this morning, but I got to get out at 5 because my master says it's time for me to do this or that. So he has to bring his will into subjection to his master's will. He has to fight his own will, his own desires, to be a good servant of the master. And that's what we have to do. You see, we got that old dead man living in us. That old body of death, the Bible calls it. Has all kinds of names for it. That we got to fight that old boy. And we have to put him down. Not to get to heaven. But to be faithful in service to our King. And so, how you deal with that fella is going to be judged at this judgment seat of Christ. That's what the text says. He said, so I run that I may obtain. He says, now listen, in verse 25, now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run. He says in verse 27, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. And so one of the reasons he did that was that he was going to be judged. And so when we come to this passage, now we're over here and we're talking about he's getting ready to be offered and die and ultimately thereby face the judgment. He said, I have fought a good fight. You know, as I look back on my life, my Christian life, and I thought, man, how much have I just not fought against the flesh? How many of you here give diligence to fighting against that old will of yours, that old nature of yours? I believe that this text is a valid text to show that though we'll never be judged in relationship to our sin, how we deal with that old man is going to be brought up at the judgment. And we must do this if we're to obtain an incorruptible crown, the rewards of the text. And this is the constant and primary fight that the believer engages in. And here is a reason why. We must learn to master self so that we can be good servants of the Master and others. You know, Paul lays it out there, what we read in chapter 9. I become all these things to all these people. I serve them where they are. He's laying it out, his case. And he does that not because he don't get tired. Not because he don't want to have his way. But he knows that his Master's looking. And that one of these days his Master is going to say, if he's faithful, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Here is the way to acceptable and reasonable service. Isn't that what Paul tells the Romans? He says, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's only reasonable for you to do it. But as I said this morning, I've said other times, not only does God give us grace to live for Him, but He turns around and rewards us for faithfulness in the use of His grace. Not only does He give us, empowers us to have love and joy and peace, but then when we exercise that love, joy, and peace, He rewards us for that. He does that even now. He'll reward you. Listen, if you are joyful and you're happy to other people, God will reward that for you now. But He also do it in the judgment. And this is the way to be meet or fit for the Master's use. 2 Timothy 2:21. I know I'm going to have to just get through here right now. I can see that. It's not going to go anywhere. All right. 2 Timothy 2:21. It says, if any man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet, which means fit, meet for the Master's use and prepared unto every good work. There is a way for believers to be fit subjects for the Master's use. And you know what that is? Purge yourself from these. In the context, it's false doctrine. In the context, it's from bad preachers. And of course, in the context, it's also from our sin. We purge ourselves from the old nature. And you can look that up to see if it's so or not. So here's the way for a servant to live an honorable life, to fight the fight of faith by fighting the flesh. Of course, we also must fight the devil, because he's another enemy. And how we do that, well, I believe, will be taken up also at the judgment seat. Then there's the course. I'm just going to tell you this, and we'll look at it later. I have finished my course. The course was his area of service. God called Paul to special, particular service, and that was to be the apostle to the Gentiles. And do you know what Paul did? He did that faithfully. You today, under the sound of my preaching, that are saved are a testimony to the faithfulness of the Apostle Paul to do what God commissioned him to do. So if you get a commission, everybody does their commission. Are you kidding me? What about Jonah? Did Jonah get a commission? What did he do with his commission? Well, he ran from God, did he not? Did he not hide out under a ship? Did he not run from God? Yet say, well, God got him to where he did. But you think that those two men are in the same category? Well, Paul was faithful. He finished his course and he did it willingly. He did it with joy in his heart, willing to lay down his life. And then he kept the faith. The faith in the text is a body of truth. It's not like he's not saying there, I kept on believing in Jesus Christ. That's not what he's saying. When he says, I've kept the faith, and we'll look at that next week, he's talking about, I've been faithful to the body of truth that Jesus Christ entrusted me to. You know, a lot of people just aren't. One reason that the Lord's churches are in disarray is because men in the pulpit and people in the pew care very little bit about the body of truth. They want to have what is their truth. They want to have what's been told by others as opposed to the Word of God as the body of truth and the doctrines that we'll get on to next time. I pray that you'll think about this as a believer, that you'll consider the fact that you're saved and be thankful for God's grace in your life, and that you'll also consider the fact that one day you too will have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, not in relationship to your sins. It's not going to be found out whether you're going to get into heaven or not. But you will stand before Jesus Christ in judgment at the judgment seat of Christ in relationship to your faithfulness to Him as His servant. It is very important, and I'm thankful tonight. I look out upon this audience tonight, and I know, as far as I can know, that many of you here are very faithful in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm not the judge of that. Jesus is. And one day that'll be brought to light, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is, whether it be good or bad. That day shall declare it. Jesus Christ will do that at His judgment seat. May we, in reverential awe, stand before Him. May we serve Him out of love and devotion, as we preached about this morning. And may we serve Him knowing that we're going to have to stand before Him, the quick, at His judgment seat. Be faithful. Be faithful in service to your King. There's a time coming that you're going to want to have been faithful. You can be assured of that. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer. Thank you for your attention to God's Word tonight.